Welcome to The Buzz with ACT IAC, your source for the hot topics and top issues affecting the federal technology market. Join us each week to hear insights from government and industry experts, stay informed on the challenges facing the public sector, and gain access to valuable reports and thought leadership. Enjoy. Hi, listeners. This is Colin Larson. The federal government is the largest single employer in the United States, with roughly 2.1 million civilian employees. It is also the sole provisioner of many necessary public services, small business assistance, transportation funding, health services for veterans and elderly and low-income Americans, the protection of our national parks and natural resources. So, the safety and well-being of the more than 330 million people who call the United States home is directly dependent on the effectiveness of those federal employees, a workforce that will soon be facing personnel issues. The Office of Personnel Management calculated in 2017 that almost 30% of federal employees were over the age of 55. That means that this year, about that same number of employees will be eligible for retirement. In some agencies, like NASA and Housing and Urban Development, more than 40% of employees could retire in 2023.
So our government needs young talent, not just to replace those that are nearing the end of their careers, but also really to bring new skills that are going to help our country, that will help our country rise to the challenges of the day. You know, thinking about the last 2 years, you know, economic strife, a pandemic, a nationwide reckoning with racial injustice. We need young people to come in and infuse new talent and new ideas.
That's Michelle Amante, Vice President of Federal Workforce Programs at the Partnership for Public Service. They're a nonprofit org that's been looking at ways to help revitalize the federal civil service.
I would also, you know, suggest that it's not only a loss for our government, but it's really a loss for young professionals in general. Federal jobs offer mission-driven work, financial security, benefits like student loan repayment, and really a platform for impact like no other job.
Only 8% of federal employees are younger than 30, compared to almost 1 in 4 in the private sector. Beyond the fact that an aging federal workforce means a shrinking workforce as more employees retire, it also means that the government is not representative of the people it serves. Millennials and Gen Z collectively compose more than 40% of the U.S. population, but are largely absent from the government that they rely on. And it's not like younger Americans don't care about the government. According to the Pew Research Centers, 64% of millennials and 70% of Gen Zers think the government should be doing more to solve problems. So, what's going on here?
Well, I wish that I could say this is a new issue. But the reality is, you know, the partnership has been around for over 20 years. And that statistic of about 6 to 7% of young people serving under the age of 30 has not changed. So for over two decades, that number has not moved. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that. Some of it has to do with just the opportunities are hard to find. So students don't know about compelling career opportunities or how to find them, how to navigate USA jobs. They don't know how to really network or just really understand the limitless opportunities. Government certainly does a bad job of storytelling and engaging young people in the process.
Now, that's not to say that there are no young people in government. There are. I even got to talk to some of them.
My name is Brianna Stinsman. And I am a 2022 U.S. Agency for International Development, Donald M. Payne International Development Fellow.
My name is Raylan Moyers, and I'm currently employed by the General Services Administration as a digital content specialist.
An important note, Brianna and Raylan spoke to me in their own personal capacity, not as representatives of their respective agencies. Their opinions are their own. Raylan and Brianna have very different career goals, which, as an aside, speaks to the diversity of roles within the civil service. But they do have a few things in common. First, a desire to do mission-oriented work in service of the public good.
I was previously an ocean lifeguard in Atlantic City, and I was really interested in emergency response, incident command system. And I decided to pursue that intersection of global studies and public service, emergency stuff, after working with a nonprofit, my second semester at ASU, and a university service learning class. I was matched up with a nonprofit called the Welcome to America Project. And it was kind of working with refugees here in Phoenix that really expanded my my interest in forced displacement, refugee rights, and looking at that from more so of a security policy side. I love the nonprofit world. I probably would have stayed in the nonprofit world. But in order to kind of really enact that policy change that I wanted to touch as well, the federal government kind of leads the way.
I love to think about both internally and externally the customers that I'm serving, whether that's someone that I'm helping down the hallway or if it's a virtual hallway nowadays. I like to help my team, whatever they need to more efficiently work on the projects that they're doing, or if it's someone from the public that I'm improving a service so that it's easier for them to fill out the form that they're working on or to reach the goal that they're trying to reach. So that's really why I'm in civil service.
Second, they were inspired by people in their lives who also served in the public sector and positive interactions with other federal employees.
It had a lot to do with like how I grew up in Atlantic City. My dad is a Navy veteran. He's a deputy chief of the fire department in Atlantic City. My mom was an educator for 32 years in Atlantic City. I come from a long line of cops, firefighters, military. And I knew I wanted to make an impact, but I wanted to do it my own way. It kind of ingrained in me that like, it's kind of a part of who we are and what we do is that like all of our actions like influence one another and to have that kind of like shared responsibility for your community. When you're around a community of people who are trying to really make a difference, it pushes you, you know, as an individual to figure out what you want your impact to be.
Well, I think that I'm pretty fortunate in the fact that I grew up in a federal family. My dad was a federal employee since I was a child. He still works for the federal government and has worked for a couple of different agencies in his career. And so for me, I had that example to kind of see what it was like. I grew up attending presentations at the Lakeside Amphitheater when my family went camping. I can still remember how special the Rangers would make me feel as a kid. And they would answer all the questions that my family would call silly. And the Rangers would encourage me to use that curiosity to make the world around me better. So I really wanted to encourage others to be curious when I grew up. I wanted to spark that joy about the outdoors and help protect the environment by building stewards of the land. And I really, the main thing I wanted was to make sure that everyone had the same opportunities to connect with or work in nature if they chose to do that. And I felt like the federal government really gives a lot of great opportunities to do that among many other fields.
And third, they both got into the federal government through fellowship or internship programs. These are pipelines into federal careers for recent grads, which, in this case, proved effective. The caveat is that Brianna and Raylan succeeded despite some challenges that potential applicants face in navigating a federal application. Everyone I talked to independently brought up that USAJobs.gov, the current job board and application system for all open federal positions, is not easy to navigate, especially for people with limited career experience.
Well, I think the culture of the application and hiring process has the potential to be a major deterrence when it comes to recruiting more diverse or younger talent. USA Jobs can feel a bit intimidating the first time you log in. Trust me, I know. Federal resumes, they're vastly different from the private sector, and the timeline is certainly not the on-the-spot like industry might be able to offer.
Every single session we have run, when you mention USA Jobs, there is a universal groan in the room. It is not a portal that is accessible. We all know this. They, you know, they want to be able to apply for jobs on their phone. They want to make it easy. It is hard to navigate the site. They can't get through it. They don't understand what a federal resume is and why it's important. So what we try to do is help them navigate those barriers. So we're doing a lot of information sessions on campus and virtually with students, but it's really difficult. I would say that's been the biggest challenge is that they get to USA Jobs and they don't really want to go any further than that.
So while it's undoubtedly a good thing that fellowships and internships exist to connect young Americans to federal jobs, It's probably an indication that the standard federal hiring process could use some simplifying. And what about early career workers at other employers who are considering a change? Shouldn't they also have easier paths to federal service?
Ideally, the pathway programs in government will work very smoothly. And, you know, it'd be very easy to find these internship opportunities. Agencies would be taking advantage of them. Students would apply, have an internship program, or have an internship and then convert to government. But we all know that's not working. So organizations like us and others are trying to step in to fill that gap, but it is an imperfect system.
Next, it's hard to overstate the importance of communication. The federal government is not good at storytelling, particularly the kinds of stories that will reach young Americans where they are.
I think we're at a stage where the traditional marketing outlets are not going to work. Certainly, you've got platforms like Handshake, which all the students are going to for job fairs, and there are not enough agencies using those, but they have to think bigger and broader. Who can they get to get excited about their mission, to talk about what they do? It's not impossible. You just have to invest some time, and certainly they have to be thinking more about video. Right? What can they do in a video format? That is what is going to appeal most to young talent. But it's really a whole mindset shift in communications if they want to appeal to Gen Z.
Brianna and Raylan have heard these stories. They connected with these stories. They both mentioned how hearing from federal employees about all of the different options that are out there in the civil service, the sheer range of jobs available, inspired both of them to pursue these careers.
The most I've learned is talking to other foreign service officers and hearing about, oh, I was managing this portfolio in Syria and we were able to work with the internally displaced persons to bring hygiene and sanitation. And because of that, we saved children's lives over the winter. And hearing kind of the stories about, oh, when I was on the ground in Venezuela, like working with migrants, like we were able to do this public health campaign to vaccinate this particular population with HIV, you know. We need good stories. We need to find the good stories. We need to find people willing to tell the good stories, and we need the platform to tell these good stories. I know just going to Atlantic City High School, the only people who would come in and speak to us were from the county jail about how horrible prison is. So, I mean, like, that was like what I learned from all my guest speakers in high school. But if I had a foreign service officer come in and talk about different cultures and traveling the world and improving humanitarian outcomes, like maybe that would have got me my gears going a little earlier.
There's a similar theme to the work that I've done, but it's very dramatically between roles and especially between the agencies that I've worked with. I've had numerous opportunities to lead initiatives or participate in ambassador programs related to topics that I'm really passionate about, such as the USA Jobs Open Opportunities platform and the Department of Interior's My DUI Career website. So federal employees are not restricted to one career pathway. That's another way that the federal government is unique, is that your colleagues all have different paths to their current role. So it really gives you an opportunity to apply your education, background, and experience to more positions, which can ultimately lead to a more fulfilling career. If you can dream it, there's probably a position in the federal government where you can do it.
Young people want to be a part of the process. They want to make a difference. They want to help build a better America. But the federal government is not empowering them to do so. The paths to employment and leadership are more complicated and opaque than the private sector, which discourages people. It can also be discouraging if prospective employees have trouble seeing themselves in the workforce. That is, if current employees don't look like them or have the same educational or socioeconomic background that they do, don't share the same experiences, which is another reason why diversity, equity, and inclusion is an important piece of this puzzle.
It's certainly something that's on the top of mind of many young students is, what is it going to be like to go into the federal workforce? Am I going to feel like I'm, you know, included? Am I going to have people that work with me, that look like me, that represent me in leadership? So that is something that we've been really transparent about. Obviously, some agencies are much better than others, and really encouraging students to do their research. Look at websites like our best places to work in the federal government.org website to better understand the agency that you're applying to and to get a sense of its culture.
And the federal government can be a great place to work. Raylan and Brianna both said that the stability offered by a public sector job was a factor in their choice.
I don't know, I had a little bit of an interesting conversation with people who were more my age, because I was choosing the federal government for what it had to offer me in terms of stability and benefits. And I don't know if that's something we always focus on when we're coming out of college. And that's something that was really important to me. I prioritized that, and I knew that the federal government really had that to offer, as well as, like I said, the I don't have to miss out. There's numerous different fields that I can apply my skill set in.
I hate to be the one to say it, but I think we are going to face another recession within the next 2 years. And it's like, how do you find a job that's recession proof? You know, civil service is something you could look to.
So if you're an agency looking to get younger Americans in the door, one, consider alternate paths to employment, ways to simplify the process, or try partnering directly with schools or job programs and nonprofits.
Maybe like a lot of agencies could take a different route of kind of comprehensively looking at a candidate from a full perspective rather than kind of just immediately filtering people out because they didn't meet an equivalent GS experience. Expanding these types of fellowship programs, and not only expanding them, but making sure people know about them. Candidates who you want to apply, spreading the word.
Get out there and tell your story. Tell people why the work you're doing matters and how your workforce directly improves the lives of their fellow Americans.
Careers in the federal government, particularly in the civil service, it's really critical that you emphasize the impact of community outcomes. Although, you know, it can seem far removed on a federal level, you know, kind of like you're just kind of writing plans, policies, and procedures, but kind of trickling that down to how this particular policy allows people from a certain income to attend community college, or how this plan that you wrote helps people in a flood in Florida, like get access to services quicker, or taking that onion and peeling the layers and making that kind of connection easier to understand about why your work matters and how you're transforming people's lives on the federal, on the national, international, state, and local levels.
This might mean doing meet and greets at job fairs or universities, getting your employees in front of a microphone or camera for social media. Whatever it is, the key is making those personal human connections. A note about this point, though. Something I've run into with agencies in the course of producing this podcast is that many have a fairly strict communications policy. Clearance can be time-consuming, and employees don't always have a lot of flexibility in what they can say. Now, obviously, I understand there's a need for guidelines, but I do think there's more room for creativity when it comes to talking to the public. If people don't know what you do, they won't consider working for you. And three, emphasize your benefits, your stability.
And so many students have been telling us that they really appreciate the stability of the federal government, the benefits that it has to offer, pension plans, healthcare, which has been surprising for us. And I think the federal government doesn't do enough to really market and amplify those benefits, because it is clearly something that is on the mind of Gen Z.
And foster a collaborative environment where employees feel engaged. Retention is just as important, especially since millennials and Gen Zers have grown into a workforce with far more career switching and job flexibility than ever.
When you look at employee engagement, that is obviously going to drive retention. And so look at what your current employees are telling you. Where are their challenges? Where do you need to spend additional time? Is it in diversity, equity, inclusion? Is it in rewards and recognition? You know, where are your employees not feeling fully engaged? Take that data, better understand it. We always say do additional focus groups, listening sessions. Spend some time. You could do dedicated focus groups with your younger talents. Spend some time better understanding their challenges and needs, and then work on fixing them. There isn't a magical solution. You just need to roll up your sleeves and do the work. Better understand your employee experience. The difference between someone mid-career versus young talent is, you know, mid-career, they have their status, they have their possible pension. You know, there's an incentive for them just to stay and kind of stick it out. They might change agencies, but they'll stay in the federal government. For someone with 2 years in with very attractive salaries in the private sector, they don't have that kind of incentive. So agencies really need to be paying attention to young talent, listening to them. Once again, Gen Z in general, they like to be part of the solution. They are asking for opportunities to step up. So give it to them. Let them help help you rethink the employee experience and offer new solutions.
I'll let Raylan and Brianna close us out.
I think there is a lot of really important and meaningful work to be done in federal service, and there are definitely seats at the federal table for more diverse voices. I hope that anyone listening to this podcast is encouraged to finish their USA Jobs resume, apply to the positions that matter to them personally, and bring their unique experiences to help us all serve the American public together.
People my age do really want to make an impact in policy in their communities on outcomes. It's just a matter of improving the mechanisms that allow them to have the platform to do so. And I think this is one of the greatest challenges the federal government's going to face in the next 5 years. But I think it comes with an active loop of feedback of improving these processes that will be able to attract a greater talent pool.
Thank you to Michelle Amante and the Partnership for Public Service for their help in this episode. They have lots of resources to help both agencies and prospective federal employees, so be sure to check them out. ACT-IAC also does work in this area with our Evolving the Workforce community of interest, so ACT-IAC members can get involved there. Thank you also to Brianna Stinsman and Raylan Moyers for their perspectives. Best of luck to you both with your public service careers, wherever they may take you. You can find plenty of resources for this week's episode in the episode notes. Don't forget to subscribe and follow ACT-IAC on Twitter and LinkedIn for more. Thank you so much for listening.